We are joined by Mike DeCourcy. Mike writes for Sporting News and appears regularly on the Sporting News Radio Network and SportingNews.com. Mike, welcome to you.
I've been all over the map today.
I figure, yeah, you're a little bit busy today, huh?
Yeah, it's the day started early and it's ending late.
Well, that's good. That means you're in demand.
That's for sure.
Very popular guy today.
It'd be nice if it was frankly, it would have been nice if it was a nice, calm summer day. That would have meant that, business as usual. And I think that a lot of people who follow basketball in this city would have been more pleased.
Yeah, but then you'd have nothing to write about.
I think I could find something.
Mike, let's get into it. How far back did you see this coming? Did you see this coming at all? How far back did
We saw it coming in the spring when he was offered a buyout rather than a rollover. Really, as soon as the season ended and he had put up 25 wins with a team that had no real point guard and no real center, I thought, okay, they've got to bring the rollover back, and they absolutely had to bring it back, because at that point he's looking at two more years on his contract, and you can't recruit in those circumstances. So I thought at that point it has to come back. And when I think it was Bill Cook from the Cincinnati Inquirer interviewed Nancy Zimpfer, and she said in the paper that they were going to wait until the end of recruiting season before they addressed it, I knew it was over. I mean, it's just a question of exactly when, whether or not he would coach another year, another 2 years, or no years. It was over.
Mike, was there anything farther back than that?
Well, the DUI certainly got it going in that direction, but she did not have, at that point, enough power to get him fired, because she tried, and she could not get the support that she needed. And sometime in the interim, from the beginning of last season until the end of it, she found the necessary power base to pull it off, and now she has.
It seems like the main reason all this has occurred is a difference in philosophy between Nancy Zimpfer and Bob Huggins.
Well, I think I think that puts too fine a point on it, really. I think it makes it sound classier than it is. It really comes down to image. It really comes down to a notion that how you present yourself is more important than who you are. I think you can look at that from both sides, but in the end, what most people are judged on is their results. And in this case, I don't think that Bob was.
Now, there were three options presented to Huggins, and he chose the one that gives him a chance to coach again sooner than later. In your opinion, what was his main reason for taking that option of the three that were presented?
Well, first of all, it meant the most immediate money, basically around $3 million. And had he selected either of the other two options, it would have meant less money immediately. I don't think that he really wanted to hang around to UC for another few years to get his 30 years. And I think he feels he can still coach. And frankly, if it's really important to him to get 30 years in the system, I mean, there are ways to do that. He could get a job in the MAC let's say that Dan Dockich had a great year and moved on to another job. He can maybe, if he wanted, he could try for the Bowling Green job, get several more years in the system that way. And that's probably more appealing than hanging on at UC working for people that really don't want him around.
Now, Mike, I'm not a big city lawyer, but I was hoping you could tell me. Mutual termination, what exactly does that entail? And we've also been hearing some things about maybe him actually staying on for the next couple of months to help with the transition.
Yeah, I think there is some ceremony to that. I don't think there's a real practical application to him sticking around, but maybe there is some service time that he can get to by staying those 3 months. I don't think he's going to have real actual duties. I have a hard time believing that. I think that there's probably a service time element to that, and so that's why they've agreed to it.
We are talking with the Sporting News' Mike DeCourcy. Mike, let's look to the future now. Everybody's talking about the past and what has happened. We want to look ahead to the future. That's really where we need to start focusing now. What does this mean for the university? What does it mean for Huggins? Let's start with the university. What does it mean to UC?
Well, I think it means, first of all, that Cincinnati basketball, as you know it, is over. I mean, it's not going to be that way any longer. You have to remember, last winter, the winter before that, people were getting tired of 25 wins. They thought, oh, we can do better, or this is boring, and people, didn't stop going to the games entirely, but attendance wasn't what it had been. There were some complaints even from Bob about that. Well, wait till you see 16 wins or 14 wins or 11 wins. How are you going to like that? I mean, because that's, you know, that's a very real possibility. You've thrown away and basically the entire recruiting year of 2006, a very rich year for Ohio talent, and now you've put yourself farther behind than you need to be for 2007, when the best player in high school basketball as a junior and probably one of the five best high school players that I've ever seen is right here in Cincinnati, and now, you know, probably out of your reach. O.J. Mayo.
Is the University of Cincinnati job, is that still a very valuable job in the eyes of other coaches? It's a Big East school.
Right. Well, it's never been a great job. Campus is average at best. If you look at the realm of things in the Big East, where does the Cincinnati campus rank? Bottom third?
Well,
like
Woody went there, so he's going to say bottom third.
Bottom third. The tradition of the program is certainly very high, but almost everybody in the Big East has great tradition. 15 out of 16 teams have been to the Final Four. So you don't have that. You don't have exclusivity of membership. There are 16 teams in this league. You can walk around and say, hey, we're in the Big East. You can come play for us. Well, 15 other people can say the exact same thing.
Including Rutgers.
Yeah, I mean, so it's not that exclusive to be able to say that. It may be better to sell that than Conference USA, but if there are 16 people that can say the same thing and every one of them brings in five players, you know, that means that what's the mathematics on that? That's like 80 players, 85 players, something like that. I'm not real good at math.
Yeah,
that's
neither
a lot
are we.
Of guys. So it's, you're not going to get great players just because you're in the Big East. You better have something else on the ball. And for 16 years, it's been Bob Huggins. And that's not going to be easy to duplicate.
In dealing with the attractiveness of the new of the job, they're going to have to start looking for a new coach here very shortly. The one that sticks out to me right away is Mick Cronin. He seems the one that jumped out to me, former UC guy. Everybody knows his history. He's coming to town here on November 19th, bringing his Murray State team into town.
Right. Mick's a terrific young coach, very talented, a great recruiter. I actually spent 3 days of the 2003-04 season with his team and got a chance to watch him very close up and how he interacts with his players. He's been great. He's had a few problems off the court and dealt with them immediately. A couple of circumstances with a drug arrest and he just, you know, those guys were gone immediately. I think he has learned the lesson that Bob Huggins refused to learn, that how you look matters a lot. It really does. Whether you like it or not, how you look to the outside world matters a lot. And maybe it matters more than it should, but I think we know now for certain that it certainly matters.
Now, you know, Bob Huggins had some issues, and there were still some leading all the way up until this last year, but they seem to really be heading in the right direction. But to me, that seems that image would stay there no matter what he did, and the image
That's
wasn't going to change for him.
True. As I said on another show a while ago, the book was written. It was on the shelf. It's been there for almost 10 years. I've been in Cincinnati since 1996. The book was pretty much written then. There's not much he could do to change it. He allowed it to get to where it was, and even bringing in good players and educating them and graduating them, it did not matter. Even turning out NBA players like Kenyon Martin didn't matter. Cleaning up his own personal image in this past year after the DUI, it was too late. If you were gonna base it on how people perceive you, well, that perception was grained in stone, and there was no way to change it now.
Mike, do you think there's any coaches out there? We talked about Mick Cronin, maybe some other ones. Do you think there's any that can take this job and run with it, and maybe if it's even Mr. Kennedy himself, if he's staying in town?
Do you have a personal short list that you've started to look at?
I look at it as a job that, you know, if I were. You know, it now that there's an opening, I mean, frankly, I think Mick is one of the few people that could take this job and get through the very difficult job of repairing the fan base, because he's a Cincinnati guy. He grew up here. He went to school at UC. He's worked there in a couple of different capacities. He's someone that people around here would embrace and might start to forget quickly about their passion for Bob Huggins. Without that, you know, I think there are a lot of guys who are good basketball coaches, and you know, the problem is, I mean, you bring in a guy like Oliver Purnell, who I think would be interested and who I think is a terrific basketball coach. People aren't going to get excited about that. And Oliver Purnell has never been a 28-5 guy, and that's what they're used to here. So are they going to be happy with Oliver Purnell and 19-12? I don't know. I mean, I think that's something that they probably are going to find out at Cincinnati.
So do you need a sexy name, so to speak?
I don't think it's a question of sexy name. It's more of a question of real heavyweight ability. You're not going to get one of those guys. You know, you can bring, there are lots of big names that can't coach, and I'm not going to name them for you, but there are lots of them. And to see, you know, I always get really frustrated when people talk about big names. When Jerry Wainwright was hired at DePaul, he was criticized by a lot of people in the Chicago media because he wasn't a big name. Well, Jerry Wainwright can coach the socks off out of 95% of the big names in college basketball. He just hasn't had the opportunity to work at that level. So it's not about a big name. It's about bringing in somebody who can really coach and who can really do the job. But again, as I said, the problem is the standard is so high. 28-5? That's what they did here every year. And that's not easy to do. There aren't very many people out there that making a habit of that.
And we're talking about Coach Huggins, and when there's two sides to every breakup. Now, we've talked about UC. What does Bob Huggins do now? Is he able to go out and coach again, maybe do a little media gig or something? What do you think the future holds for Bob Huggins?
Well, I think that the future for Huggins, by taking the buyout as it was formed, means he probably wants to coach again. And it's not going to be easy for him to get a job, but I think it will happen. I'm not sure where that'll be, but I know there are too many places in basketball where they've just been so awful for so long that I just can't imagine that given the opportunity to hire a coach who is a sure thing. There are very few coaches in basketball who are sure things, who will win regardless of where they work, and he is one of them. And if you are sitting at a place like Duquesne, and you had been on the losing side of 500, I think it's now either 20 out of the last 22 years or 21 out of the last 23. And you had the opportunity to hire a Bob Huggins. How do you not?
Yeah, I don't know. That's definitely one where you look at it. You know, another one we kind of thought maybe a little bit about might be Marshall. It's in his home state.
Marshall's a good one. As a matter of fact, I was talking to a very prominent basketball analyst today, and that person came up with Marshall, and I thought that was a great one. I thought, you know, I mean, that place has really struggled lately, and I think that that's something that could happen.
And now that they're not in the MAC anymore, I really don't care what they do, to be honest with you.
Well, you know, I think the fact that they're not in the MAC is a positive, because now that they're in Conference USA, he could look at that as saying, hey, I can get this on the level where Calipari has Memphis, and that would be something, and, you know, I could get this team to the tournament and, you know, maybe make a little noise Kent State style, and, you know, show a lot of people that they made a mistake with me.
Speaking of Kent State, that's another name that I kind of look at the short list maybe as Jim Christian up there, who was supposed to get the UMass job, but then Travis Ford slipped in there. Is that someone who's, I don't know if he's a good enough coach, is that someone whose the name isn't quite good enough for UC?
Well, he's a terrific coach. I like Jimmy a lot. I think he's really, you know, very good. What you have to ask yourself is if that's where it goes, what are UC fans going to say? You know, you're talking about a guy who, you know, who's been in the MAC for 3-4 years. Are people at UC going to be excited about that after they're used to 14 consecutive NCAA tournaments?
Yeah, probably not.
I think there are a lot of guys like Jimmy who are very good basketball coaches who you'd say to yourself, in a lot of cases, that he'd be a great hire, but it's going to be hard for anyone who comes into this circumstance without a great track record or that local tie that I talked about Mick having, that it's going to be hard for any of them to win over the fan base.
We are talking with Sporting News' Mike DeCourcy. And Mike, the one thing I'll definitely say about your writing is I don't necessarily always agree with your take on something, but I always, always appreciate your writing. You were doing an exceptional job writing. And I want to tell people to make sure they check out sportingnews.com because you've actually changed a little bit. Now you have kind of a blog freewheeling style on there.
Yeah, we update it frequently. Wrote three of them as the Huggins thing developed. So we're doing that frequently. We give the opportunity for fans to react to what we write instantaneously instead of sending us emails like we used to in the past. So, you know, I think that, I think people will really enjoy it if they go to sportingnews.com. I think they'll have a lot of fun with it.
Well, Mike, thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk with you. And we wish you some rest over the next coming days, if you can find any.
I appreciate that.
That was the Sporting News' Mike DeCourcy and his take on the UC and Bob Huggins and the whole fiasco, so to speak.